Our first scripture reading of the morning is a very short passage. It's from the book of James in the New Testament. I'll be reading from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. I invite you to follow along on the screen. James writes, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face various trials, consider it all joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance complete its work, so that you may be complete and whole, lacking in nothing." And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever noticed that when you're sick or in the hospital or in some kind of deep grief, Christians can't help but say the wrong thing that hardly helps when they come to visit you? Why is that, do you think? I think it's because that Christians feel the need to have to sprinkle rose petals on what I call the jagged edges of life. There is this temptation to minimize the pain that another person is experiencing because it makes us feel uncomfortable. And so we either want to change the subject completely, or what we do is we dust off some of our theological thinking because we think what we know that person needs most in that moment. There are some well-intentioned Christians, I'm sure, who will try to smooth everything over with Bible verses. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not opposed or against God's word speaking to us in the midst of the crises of our life. But sometimes it's not the right time or the right verse. For example, some Christians will say to a mother of a sick child, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love God. Or some will quote our first scripture reading saying, don't forget James 1:2, count it all joy when you face various trials. Or if you have cancer, someone will say to you, I know that God heals. If you have enough faith in God, you will be okay too. To which we think, oh great, does that mean if I die that I was this hopelessly lost sinner with this extremely shallow faith? Sometimes we don't even need the Bible. We can say things that are just not helpful. Like a list I saw of the not so very helpful things to say to someone experiencing the loss of a loved one. God needs him more than you do. You think this is bad? Well, you should have lived through World War II. Do you think you'll marry again? Or my favorite, I know just how you feel. Last week, my cat died. Well, there has got to be a better way of responding to people who are hurting. There has to be something else that can be said to share God's love as encouragement and hope. This morning, we're looking at a phrase that we hear when someone is going through a particularly hard time, without even realizing that it comes straight out of the Bible. It's the phrase, a thorn in the flesh. Where in the Bible is this found? Well, please join me as I read the words of the Apostle Paul from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10, and especially our phrase for this morning in verse 7. I invite you to follow along on the screen. Paul sort of has this longer discourse, and so we're picking up his comments here in the middle of that long narrative. He says, but if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me. Now verse 7. Even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. And friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, in darkness and in light, in trouble and in joy, we come to you and trust in your holy presence and grace. Stand by those who struggle today, comfort them with your Holy Spirit, and give to each here and those watching online the good hope we have in Jesus Christ, as we pray these things in his name. Amen. 2 Corinthians may be the most intimate letter that the Apostle Paul ever wrote, especially because he bears his soul and he gives us a glimpse of his own personal struggles. Now, Paul may have had it made in the shade with his impressive religious connections, his experiences, his knowledge and achievements, but in this scripture passage, which I just shared for you, he chooses to speak only of his weaknesses. And so he introduces his Corinthian audience to God's sustaining grace by telling them a story about what he called a thorn in the flesh. Now, what was it? Well, some people believe that it may have been a spiritual temptation. In other words, it may have been something that caused Paul to drift away from his calling to be a missionary evangelist. That was the view of our Presbyterian forefather, John Calvin. Others believe that the thorn was the opposition and persecution he faced from other people. And what they meant was this constant butting of heads against those who were trying to sabotage and undermine his mission and work. It may have been a physical illness, and some possibilities include a painful eye disease, severe headaches, epilepsy, or even malaria. Nobody knows for sure what it was. What we do know is that it was a constant source of pain and depression in Paul's life, to the point where he called it the messenger of Satan to torment me. And we know that Paul was not only sick from it, but sick of it. And he prayed over and over, three times, for God to remove whatever it was. So let me ask you, have you ever been there? Have you ever had something in your life that was causing you deep pain? Maybe that pain was a loss in your life, and maybe that pain is still there. In her book, Necessary Losses, the author Judith Vorse writes, when we think of loss, we think of the loss through death of people we love. But loss is a far more encompassing theme in our life. For we lose not only through death, but also by leaving and being left, by changing and letting go and moving on. And our losses include not only our separations and departures from those we love, but our conscious and unconscious losses of romantic dreams, impossible expectations, illusions of freedom and power, illusions of safety, and the loss of our own younger self, the self that thought it always would be unwrinkled and invulnerable and immortal. You see, a thorn in the flesh takes many different shapes and forms. Maybe your thorn in the flesh is a bad boss. Maybe your thorn in the flesh is bad news from the doctor. Maybe your thorn in the flesh is a bad letter from the IRS. Do we ever get a good one from the IRS, by the way? Maybe it was a spouse who betrayed you. Child who turned their back on you. Or a friend who disappointed you. Sometimes the thorn in the flesh can be so painful that people even contemplate taking their own life. One quote that I read this week said, "No one commits suicide because they want to die. They do it because they want the pain to stop." That's how painful this thorn in the flesh can be in our lives. It can hurt that bad. And in case you're wondering how a little thorn could cause Paul so much pain, we need to look at the Greek word for thorn in the Bible. It's the word skolops, which means a sharply pointed stake. Specifically, Paul is saying, "There was given to me a stake in the flesh." Sounds awful, doesn't it? So, what are we to do? Some people sort of get spiritual amnesia and forget all about the grace of God and instead think, "Well, I know that God helps those who help themselves." That is not, I repeat, not what the Bible teaches. You cannot find that statement anywhere in the Bible because it does not exist, not even close. Instead, the scriptures say, and this is in Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." In other words, God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps the helpless. God comes to the humble. God is not impressed with the things that impress us. Rather, God honors and blesses those with a thorn in the flesh, especially when they know they need him. As someone once said, in those times when you're empty, if you turn to God and say, "I'm empty and I have nothing left," that's when God can begin to work. And yet, you and I both know that we're human, and we may not totally understand or comprehend and certainly like what is going on with us. So it's not too hard to imagine what our normal reaction would be to pain, suffering, and despair. Our response is usually that we want God to get rid of that thorn in the flesh. We want God to make the pain stop. We want God to make it better. And Paul, in this scripture reading, is no different from us. He desires divine healing. And it is right here that God surprises him and us. God does not respond with a cure, but with a message of hope. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." Friends, never forget that Jesus Christ loves you with a love that will never, ever let you go. Whatever things you may have said or done in your life, whatever mistakes you may have made, whatever hole you may have dug for yourself, or if it's just the unfortunate circumstances of life in which you have no control over, just remember, Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you." It's like that praise song that sometimes we sing here on Sunday morning. "Your grace is enough for me." And he will never, ever let us go. I love the way the Presbyterian minister, author Steve Brown, signs off his letters. He always ends his letters at the bottom with the words, "In his grip." I just love that. Usually, our way of thinking in life is that it's going to be this roller coaster ride of thrills and chills and sometimes spills. And that through it all, we just got to grab on hold to God and hang on tight. But you know, that's not quite right. It's not how much faith we have, but faith becomes a matter of how strong God is. As Paul writes, "So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." And no matter what we do, God loves us and holds on to us through it all. The other thing that I just love is that God makes house calls. He comes alongside the Apostle Paul, who's in deep pain, and he gives him what he needs the most, not just at that moment, but for all time. Someone once said it's sort of like an old Western where God has this card that says, "Has grace, will travel." And you may be wondering, will travel where? Into our hearts, into our hurts, into our loneliness, and into our thorn in the flesh. And when we call, God comes. Growing up as a boy, I was the envy of a lot of my friends because, as you know, my dad was a policeman. And we would be playing street hockey in front of our house, and my dad would come home for dinner. And once you know, he'd get a call on his walkie-talkie from police headquarters. And so he had to dash out of the house and into the police car, and he would turn on that siren and those big red and blue flashing lights on top of the car, and then he'd zoom away. And my friends, my hockey buddies, would just be standing there with their mouths open. Their dads were accountants or realtors, and they would say to me, "That is so cool. My dad's job is so boring compared to yours." If you called 911, you would get my dad. And he would come into your crisis, whether it was to help an injured driver after a car accident, resolve a domestic dispute, or get that shiny yellow bicycle back to you that was stolen from your driveway. Your need was his job description. Well, friends, we have a Heavenly Father who rushes beside us in our hour of crisis, our weakness, our need, our thorn in the flesh, and he comes to us with his lights flashing to come alongside, to comfort, and then to offer his amazing grace. Let me ask you, is God bringing to mind someone for you that you need to go and offer grace to? Don't just do, and I am guilty of this too, "Hey, if you need anything, just let me know." We all do that, right? Instead, will you call them on the phone? Will you send them an email or a text or drop a card in the mail? Perhaps send a meal, run an errand for them. Maybe you'll even take a ride over to their home and spend an hour with them this week. Just remember, you're not the only person holding them up. Underneath are the everlasting arms of our great and glorious God. Last week, I mentioned in that video clip about the great Brooklyn Dodger, Jackie Robinson. Today, I want to tell you about another great Brooklyn Dodger whose name was Roy Campanella. He was a catcher. And his career was cut short in an automobile accident that left him as a quadriplegic. And Roy Campanella had to make countless trips to the Institute of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation in New York City. And there was this bronze plaque that hung in the waiting room. And it spoke powerfully to Roy Campanella. The plaque read, "I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I ask for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might endure all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost, despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am, among all men, most richly blessed. The Apostle Paul prayed over and over and over for God to take away that thorn in his flesh. But God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And Paul came to the place in his life where he said, "You know, God, you're right. I am the richest person on the face of the earth because I have the surpassing joy of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. May it be so for each and every one of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord God, sometimes it's hard to know where to begin with where we hurt and how, and most of all, why. We pray for any of us here today who have a thorn in the flesh, a pain that is holding us back from enjoying the abundant life that you so desire for us. Help us instead to bask in the grace of Jesus Christ. Help us to know that we are in his grip. Help us to know that he is not just enough, but more than enough. Keep us strong. Keep us humble. Keep us faithful. And God, may we consider ourselves most richly blessed. To the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.